The guessing game over when interest rates will go up continues. From APM in Los Angeles, I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Midday Update. It could have been a sleepy Friday leading into Memorial Day weekend, and if you're lucky, it still might be for you, but not for market watchers. At 8:30 this morning, the Commerce Department will release its latest reading on inflation, and Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen will speak this afternoon in Providence, Rhode Island, about the economy. Investors, of course, will be looking for signs of when the Fed might raise interest rates. Drew Mattis is senior U.S. economist at UBS Securities. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning.
All right, Drew, let's start with consumer prices. What are you expecting to see there?
Well, I think you're going to continue to see some upward movement in inflation. And, you know, it's not going to be enough to get the Fed worried, but it should be enough to diminish fears about deflation.
We can be sure that Fed Chair Yellen will also be watching the inflation data today, going into her speech in Rhode Island. What do you think she's going to talk about today?
Well, I think the market's expecting her to comment on the labor market. Rhode Island has a relatively high level of unemployment, and so it opens up a window for her to talk about unemployment, which has been coming down on a sustained basis, and maybe talk about whether or not the Fed thinks that the unemployment's getting a little too low, given the fact that rates are still at zero.
Most people seem to think a June interest rate hike is off the table now. We're hearing a lot of September. What do you think?
Well, UBS is in the September camp as well. We think they go in September, and we probably think then they take a little short vacation and go again in December as well.
Drew Mattis is senior U.S. economist at UBS Securities. Drew, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The New York Times is reporting that the Obama administration is preparing to announce new clean water regulations that would restore the federal government's authority over natural bodies of water. Environmentalists are in favor of the rule. They hope it will limit pollution and lead to cleaner drinking water. Some farmers, energy producers, and land developers oppose it. They say it infringes on property rights and could slow down business. Okay, we all know what a leap year is, but there's also something called a leap second. It happens every few years when clocks around the world have to tick one extra second before the stroke of midnight GMT. This syncs up clocks and computer systems with the Earth's rotation. It won't happen until June 30th, but it's a really big deal for financial firms, and they're gearing up for it. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains why.
You might think this sounds a lot like the Y2K scare, but the leap second really could be a problem for today's super-fast online trading, says Victor Yodakin at FSM Labs, a financial software firm.
It's a big issue for financial firms. A whole second is a long time. Software is really not set up to see time go backwards.
Yodakin says high-frequency traders depend on real-time pricing down to the microsecond. Also, exchanges in Asia and the U.S. aren't adding the extra second the same way, says programmer Steve Allen at UC Santa Cruz.
During the trading day, their clocks will be different. There will be moments during that day when transactions from one market to another seem to come from the future.
Some U.S. exchanges will pause around the leap second as a precaution, and most experts agree any problems will get resolved, if not in a New York nanosecond, at least in the hours and days after the leap second is passed. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
People in the city of Flint, Michigan, have seen more than their share of hardship over the years. In addition to a devastating loss of manufacturing jobs and blight, Flint is also losing its grocery stores. That's making life even harder for its poorest residents. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
Jason Lorenz is a public information officer at Flint City Hall. On his wall is a map showing the city boundaries. One thing that's rapidly disappearing from the map are grocery stores.
Yeah, we had a Kroger over here that closed. We have a Meijer up here on the northwest side of town. Either side of M21 here were two VGs. They both closed.
Over the past 8 months, Flint has seen three groceries closed. Most recently, the Kroger on Davison Road, meaning that a city of 100,000 people now has only one major grocery.
Flint was a very tough decision for us.
Brandon Barrow is a spokesman for Kroger. This latest store closure, he says, was simply unavoidable.
Over a course of about 9 years, we lost just over $3 million at that particular location.
Over 40% of Flint's residents live below the poverty line. Many don't have cars, meaning that they are increasingly cut off from fresh groceries.
It's a 4 to 6 hour trip, generally for me.
Betty Cavendish is disabled and can't drive. When the Eastside Kroger closed, she started taking the bus to a suburban Walmart.
I have to walk a half hour to get to the bus stop because it doesn't go down the road I'm on.
And then she has to carry all her groceries back home. It's one of the hardest parts of her week.
I guess people would think it would be easier if you have the time because when you're disabled, but it's a lot harder. They don't make it easy on you at all.
Ed Benning is general manager of Flint's bus system, the MTA. The bus that Cavendish takes is a special grocery route that Flint created as a test for 90 days. If the ridership is there, Benning says the line may become permanent.
I think the ridership will be there because the need's not going to go away.
The grocery bus helps, but even that only runs weekday hours from 9:30 to 2:30, meaning that if you do have a job, you likely still won't have a chance to do your shopping. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Last up, a high court in France has upheld restrictions on unlicensed taxi services. It's a decision that's expected to hit the ride-sharing company Uber. Uber's unlicensed taxi service in France is called Uber Pop. The court said its drivers must return to their bases after dropping off customers. They can't drive around looking for new clients. The suit was brought by three French cab companies, including one with the simple but evocative name of Le Cab. In Los Angeles, I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.